Well, hello, everyone. Welcome. So glad to have you with us today. If you're joining us live or online, welcome. My name is Hannah. I'm part of our Worship Arts staff team, and we're glad that you have chosen to join us today. So we're going to start off our time today by singing some songs to help us focus our hearts in on the God who is present with us today, who wants to meet with us. So would you stand if you're able, and let's start by lifting our voices together in this song. Kyle's going to lead us.
Nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind. So we sing to Jireh.
Jireh, you are enough.
Yes, you are.
Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance, for you are Jireh, and you are enough.
I'm already
chosen. I know who I am. I know what you've spoken. And I'm already loved more than I could imagine. That is enough.
Let's sing that together. I'm already loved. To him.
You are.
enough, Lord. You are enough. And we come into this space of worship together from a lot of different places today, a lot of different life circumstances, Lord. Some of us from places of plenty, some of us from places of need. And yet we thank you that we can declare that in all of it, Lord, you are enough and you will supply our every need. And we can back up and look at the whole community, the whole global community, even the world that we're a part of. Lord, we see so much tragedy, so much injustice, so much wrong everywhere. We think of places like Ukraine where the war still rages. And you know, we cry out to you, Lord, from these places of need on behalf of our world. We ask you to move. And we still declare, Lord, that amidst all of it, you are our refuge. You are the solid rock upon whom we can stand even when the world feels like it's crashing down around us. And you are enough to meet our needs even in these places, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, that when we cry out, you are attentive and you hear, that you see everything and that you care for even all the little details of our lives, that you are that kind of God. We worship you. We thank you. We thank you for the grace and salvation and hope that we have in Christ Jesus, who is our light, who is our hope. We ask that in this time we have together that you would be speaking to us through your Holy Spirit. Help us to be attentive to what you might be saying. We give you this space and time. We pray these things in the name of Jesus together. Amen.
Amen. Well, welcome, Blackhawk Church. It is great to be here with you. If you're joining us online, so good to have all of you. Be sure to drop in the chat what you're doing to kind of stay cool through these hot summer days that we're having recently. For all of you in the room, it is so good to see your faces today. Let me invite you to take your seats. We know in these summer months, we see a lot of folks who are indicating that they're moving to Madison for the first time. Maybe they're starting a new job or starting school in some way, whatever it might be. So if that's you right now, we're so glad that you're joining us and getting to know our church community. Over the last couple of weeks, we've done a couple of things on the lawn, Braiderway on the lawn, to kind of make some of those spaces to just connect and get to know some of the folks that call Blackhawk Church home. And so we invite you to another one of those. It's happening this Sunday night. That's tonight. It's worship on the lawn that's going to happen. So anytime after 5, bring your own kind of picnic dinner if you want to, some blankets, chairs you can kind of spread out on the lawn, eat your dinner. And then at 6 or around 6, we'll have Coley McNair and a Gospel Fusion worship team that's leading us in worship for a time together. And so we just invite you to be there. Our community will gather. It's an all-church event, and so we're excited to have that opportunity to do that. Also, we are in kind of our second week of a donation drive to support mother and child resources here at Blackhawk. And that's been going on, a ministry that's been going on for over 20 years. And so I know many of you have brought things in, which thank you so much for that. If you forgot, not a big deal. You can drop off donations at any point throughout this week in our normal Braiderway reception hours. Or next Sunday, you can bring things back here or at any of our sites. We're accepting items that are part of that list. You can jump on our website to find out the sorts of things we're looking for. And if you're watching us online and you don't have a way to bring things here, you can drop things in that Amazon wish list, and anything that's purchased there will be automatically delivered over here as well. So thanks so much for being part of supporting mother-child ministries these months. All right, well, this week we're kind of talking a little bit more about what it means to be the church in the way that we serve. So take a quick look here.
Hey, Blackhawk family. Well, another ministry year is right around the corner with all kinds of groups and ministries kicking into high gear. And I want to talk to you about an opportunity that we have as a church to build a community in order to reach a community right here at Blackhawk. I can remember back to my freshman year of college. Like, it was during that time. I had grown up in a Christian family. I had grown up going to church. But it was during that year that, like, for the first time, I really started serving in a church. I had the opportunity to work with middle school and high school students. The thing is, I thought that I was there to teach them, help them with their faith. But the thing that happened is that my own faith took off. Like, as I was serving these students, I was literally being transformed by God. Like, it was such a great season. And here's the thing, what I experienced in that season, I want for everyone at Blackhawk. Like, that's the thing, serving has the potential to help you grow in your faith in massive ways. And that's what we want for every person here who calls Blackhawk Church their home. Like, it would be easy for me to stand here as your senior pastor and say, look, there are a lot of needs around here, so come on, everybody, pull your weight and jump in. And that's all true, but I want you to serve, to be a part of something bigger. You see, I hear stories all the time about the ways that people's lives are being transformed, people who are taking steps in their faith towards a greater connection with others here at Blackhawk. And God is transforming their lives. You see, it's like from the middle school student who is looking to belong, to the newlywed couple searching for friendship, to the recent college grad who's trying to figure out who their new group of friends is gonna be, to like the recent retiree who is seeking purpose in this season of life and growth in the way that they can experience their relationship with Jesus. You see, all of these people, they are looking for people. They are looking for purpose. They are looking for ways to take their faith to the next level. And serving provides community for these things to happen. You see, the growth, like the connection, the relationships with people. I mean, all of that, what people have found through serving has made Blackhawk Church feel more like home. Look, maybe you've been attending here for a while. And you come to services and you're a part of things, but you're looking for that next step. Or you're wondering if there is something more for you here. You know, our mission here at Blackhawk Church, we talk about it all the time, is building a community to reach a community. And you are a part of that community. You have important gifts. You've got passions. You have experiences that we need to fulfill this mission together. And so there is no one else here like you, and we want you to come alive in the places that God has gifted you and is calling you to live that out. He is calling you to live out your faith for Him in new ways. So if you consider Blackhawk Church your home, like whether you've been around here for like 20 days or 20 years, would you think about how you might start serving at Blackhawk? Look, you are a vital part of our community, a community that is building to reach others. And I'd love to invite you to discover what might be next for you.
And here at Blackhawk, we are all about building a community to reach a community. As Matt said, you're a vital part of that community. You have gifts and talents and abilities to bring to bear. And over the next couple of weeks, that's what we're looking at, is how you can bring all of who you are to what God is doing in and through Blackhawk Church. So we invite you to dive into us if you haven't thought about taking that next step to serve in some way. You can pull out your phone and point the camera app at the QR code on screen, and you'll kind of get moved to an interest form there. And you can fill that out, and that's just a place to start the conversation. So fill that out for anything you might be interested in looking at. Just indicate that there, submit that form, and somebody will reach out to you this week to get that conversation going. There's also volunteers and some staff out in the atrium who would be happy to connect with you on that. We want to invite you into the work that God's doing. If you're not serving in some way, we would love for you to find what it is that God might be calling you into as part of our community at Blackhawk Church. All right. Well, with that, I'm going to hand it off to Pastor Chris for our next series, our next message in the Psalm series. So check this out.
All right. Welcome to Blackhawk Church. My name is Chris, and I am super excited about today's message. This is a great psalm we're going to look at today. And to help me kind of introduce this psalm, I've asked three of our musicians to come out on the platform right now and to kind of help me with this introduction. So this is Hannah and Chris and Brittany. And Hannah has an oboe. And actually, when she came to UW years ago, she came as an oboe major at UW-Madison. And she is going to actually blow through two reeds at the top of the instrument and make this sound. Hannah. Let's hear it for Hannah, yeah. This is Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris plays the glockenspiel. He doesn't actually blow onto the glockenspiel. He actually hits it with a mallet. Listen to Chris. Yes, yes. And this is Brittany, and Brittany is not going to hit the violin. She's not going to blow on the violin. No, she's actually going to kind of push a bow made of horsehair across some metal strings, and the vibration makes a beautiful sound. Brittany. It's here for Brittany. Yes. So they are playing very different kinds of instruments, and they do different kinds of things to make the sound take place. But those differences can really create one beautiful song. Let's hear it. Yeah, let's hear it. Awesome, awesome. So you're asking, what does this have to do with the message today? It has everything to do with the message today. Because these instruments, very different. They're not alike at all. And yet, even though they're different, they can work together to produce the same song. In the psalm we are going to look at today, we're going to look at things that are very, very, very different. And yet, even though they're very different, they can work together to produce the same song. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. This is the second in our 8-part series called Psalms for the Summer. Last week, Pastor Charles put up a chart of the structure of the book of Psalms, and you can see that it's 5 books, but there's an introduction, Psalms 1 and 2, and then he led off with the very first prayer. This message today is from one of the last 5 Psalms called the Hallel Psalms, the Hallelujah Psalms, or the Praise Psalms. Psalm 148 is in the middle of those 5 Psalms. Psalm 148, Psalm 146, 147, 149, and 150, they all begin and end with the same phrase. So look at your Bibles right now. Look at the first words of Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and 50, and the last words. They're all the same phrase, and that phrase is... When I do this, you can participate in the message itself, okay? That phrase is? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord is the English that translates this Hebrew verb right here, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah is one of the very few, I'm yelling, aren't I? It's one of the very few Hebrew verbs that actually made it into our English language because we kind of have an idea of like what that must mean. We don't get the biblical sense of the term when we use the term. Hallelujah is, I hate to get all geeky on you, but it's a second person plural imperative verb in the PL stem, actually. Hallelujah is, it's a command that others praise Yah, abbreviation for Yahweh. It's not about the content of praise. It's about the call of others to praise. It's a command. Not that I'm going to praise. No, I'm calling to you to praise. Hallelujah. That's what that means. So let's see if you guys follow what I'm saying. So for our praise today, I'm just going to ask everybody kind of just to shout the word praise God. So when I say hallelujah, I'm commanding you to praise God. And then you say praise God. You guys get it? Hallelujah. Now, everybody didn't participate right then. Did you guys understand? All sites and venues, I want everybody to do that. So I'm commanding you. It's not the content of what I'm saying. It's a command. You guys follow what I'm saying? Because today is confusing for us. Because today when we say hallelujah, we just mean, hey, really good. Hey, this is awesome, really good. Like last night, the Cubs won. I said, hallelujah. I'm not thinking about God at all when I said hallelujah. See, we use it differently. So I'm trying to help you understand the way the word biblically is meant to be used is I'm commanding you to do something. Let's do it again. All sites and venues, everybody, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Everybody over 40, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Everybody under 40, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Everybody in the downtown, all the downtown, everybody in the downtown venue, it's you now, hallelujah. Everybody at Fitchburg, Blackhawk Fitchburg, hallelujah. Oh, now it's interesting, isn't it? Because in this venue and in other venues, we didn't hear them praise God. Important lesson. Just because you can't hear someone praise doesn't mean they're not praising Yahweh. All sites and venues, everybody, Blackhawk Church, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. This psalm is a fantastic psalm. And as we read it, I want you to just get a flavor of how interesting and very different it actually is. Psalm 148. Praise Yahweh. Remember, when you see L-O-R-D in capital letters, it's a code for the personal name of God, which is Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise Yahweh from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all the rulers of the earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of Yahweh, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise Yahweh. The psalm is easy to outline. The outline would look something like this. Praise Yahweh, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. And then the psalmist is calling two different groups to praise Yahweh. Like I was calling out different groups a minute ago to do praise Yahweh. He's calling two different groups. One group is from the skies. One group from the earth. Praise him, all his angels, his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, you highest heavens. And then there's two reasons why they should praise him. Praise the name of Yahweh for two reasons. And then, now, praise Yahweh from the earth. Great sea creatures, lightning, blah, 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 blah. And then two reasons. Praise the name of Yahweh for two reasons. Praise Yah. Easy to outline. The psalmist is doing hallelujah And he's asking two groups to praise Yahweh, two very different kinds of groups, and all kinds of instruments that are very different in those groups. How are you doing? Now, the elephant in the room. Yeah, how do mountains praise Yahweh? How do trees do that? Birds, fish, come on, Pastor Chris. You know what? This is a little just goofy. I mean, you know, this is poetry, and this is metaphor. It's not like literal. So we tend to just kind of dismiss psalms like this. You know, these creation psalms, and there's a lot of them. We just dismiss it. Because, you know, if you're saying, Pastor Chris, that trees can actually talk, you're not dealing with a full deck, Pastor Chris. You know, you're kind of one card short or something. Because we all know that, like, stormy winds don't speak praise to God. So let's just move on. Can we look at another part of the Bible that we can understand? It's just poetry. It doesn't really mean anything. Stop. You see, these kind of phrases are found all over the Bible. Yes, it's poetry. Yes, it's metaphor. But the poetry and the metaphor, they point to something that is real. And just like a glockenspiel is not like an oboe, it doesn't mean that the glockenspiel can't sing the same song as an oboe. It's just different. This is a biblical theme all over the Bible. Here are just a few passages where this theme comes out. Watch this.
Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them.
Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands.
将近耶路撒冷剩下橄榄山的时候，众门徒因所见过的一切异能都欢乐起来，大声赞美神，说：“奉主名来的王是应当称颂的，在天上有和平，在至高之处有荣光。” 众人有几个法利赛人对耶稣说：“夫子，责备你的门徒吧。”耶稣说：“我告诉你们，若是他们闭口不说，这些石头必要欢呼起来。” For
the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time.
Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.
All sites and venues, hallelujah.
Praise
I didn't hear you. Hallelujah.
Praise
this theme is all over the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. All creatures, things, inanimate, they sing praises to God. And it's never as focused as it is in Psalm 148. So let's look through the psalm. Go a little slower. Psalm 148. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, All his angels praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. It's not hard for us to imagine that the angels and the heavenly hosts can praise Yahweh. But what about the sun and the moon? And then all you shining stars. Have we seen some pictures recently of some shining stars? Look at this picture from the James Webb Telescope. How many of you actually thought that I could do a message without referring to the James Webb Telescope? What we're seeing today, you guys, no one has ever seen before. And we see these things with such brilliance and clarity. Most of the lights here are galaxies. Most of the lights are galaxies here. And this is just a very small part of the sky. Scientists tell us the number of stars is 30 to 70 billion trillion. When they say that, that means they don't really know how many stars are out there. That's a funny number, you guys. In the psalm before this, in 147, the psalmist says, hallelujah, that the Yahweh, he names the stars. He numbers them. His ability to do that is beyond our ability to comprehend, just like 30 to 70 billion trillion stars. And all of them praise Yahweh. Whoa. All of them. Why do the heavens praise Yahweh? Why? Let them praise the name of Yahweh for reason. At his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. What is this? Well, praise him because he's the creator, and he creates everything. It's a huge distinction between God and everything else. Genesis 1:1 is the most powerful verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's in a very different category. So everything animate and inanimate praises him because he's the creator. He's very, very different. And he issued a decree that will never pass away. What is this decree? Is it the laws of science? Is it physics, gravity, laws like that? Well, I don't know. The psalmist doesn't tell us those kind of things. But the fact of the matter is these animate and inanimate objects are praising him because he is their creator. First call to praise is everything in the heavens. Praise Yahweh. And the second call to praise, hallelujah, is everything on earth. Praise Yahweh from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. Anybody stay up last night because stormy winds that were doing his bidding? How many of you heard them say praise Yahweh when that was happening? Great sea creatures. Here's a picture of a great sea creature. Probably not what the psalmist was thinking about, but anytime I can get a picture of a humpback whale doing gymnastics, I'm thinking, yeah, we'll go for that. Let's go back to the verse. In this passage, you'll see this over and over again. All ocean depths. The word all in Psalm 148 repeats about 9 different times. Let's look at the next verse. You mountains, all hills, fruit trees, all cedars, wild animals, all cattle, small creatures, flying birds. The idea that the psalmist is basically looking around and just saying, like, everything on earth, praise Yahweh, praise Yahweh. You sing this praise, all of you, you will praise him. Now, this is a problem with a psalm like this, because most of you who are listening to me right now are inside. But those of you who are on a podcast, you're actually like outside probably, And I would suggest to you right now that you stop the podcast and just look around, actually. Because you had an advantage over all of the rest of us because we're inside. It would be great if we were outside right now and we could just look at what God has created, but we're not, so we'll settle for these pictures. These mountains. Praise Yahweh. All these trees, different kinds of trees. Animals, different kinds of animals. Butterfly, birds. What you just looked at was fellow worshipers of Yahweh. They don't look like us, but that would be like an oboe saying to a violin, "You don't look like me. How can you make music?" But it can make music, even though it's different from an oboe. How you guys doing? It's a biblical theme found all over the Bible. Human beings don't show up until the latter part of the psalm. Kings of the earth, all nations, you princes, all rulers on the earth, young men and women, old men and children. So this, again, the idea of a multi-generational, multicultural praise. All these people praise Yahweh. Why are the humans to praise Yahweh? Let them praise the name of Yahweh for, this, wherever you see this, for this reason, his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. So he's just talked about the heavens and the earth, but Yahweh is more superior to all of that. His glory is above all of that. And second reason, he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. The word horn is a metaphor for a bull's horn. And it's the idea of, in their world, the Hebrew world, a bull's horn was like code word for victory. So the psalmist is referring to a victorious, probably a victorious person. And this is at the end of the book of Psalms. And so the idea here would most likely be referring back to the many messianic psalms that were in the book. So here at the end, he's referring probably to the Messiah. Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some lessons for our lives from this psalm. First lesson for our life is this. No kidding. We are a very, very small part of a massive choir. And the problem with humans is that we start to think we're the whole choir. We're actually a very tiny part of a massive choir. And let's not even talk about the heavens. Let's just stay down here on earth. What percentage of the earth is human beings? Well, that'd be a good quiz question right now, but I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Smaller than you think. Here's a couple of graphs. Life on earth, distribution, the global biomass. This is the main thing right here. It's mostly plants. A lot more bacteria than human beings. And the human beings are way down here in this little part. And then they blow this up. And then you can, and then we're like way over here. 0.01% of all biomass, that's human beings. We're a very small part of a huge choir. Someone say amen. Ooh, that's kind of disturbing, isn't it? Because we thought we were a bigger deal than that. I'm not saying, and the psalmist is not saying, that human beings are not important. No Hebrew reader would have thought that. Heck, they read Psalm 8. Psalm 8 is all about the majesty of man. Human beings are amazing. Human beings are created in the image of God. Whoa, 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 whoa. Human beings are incredible. We're created in the image of God. That just is, means like, oh my gosh, no other creature is like that. When God decided to rescue the world, he became a human being. So I'm not saying that human beings are not important. I'm just saying we make ourselves out to be more important than probably we should. Human beings, small part of a very big choir. Second lesson for our life. We are connected to the other members of the choir. We are connected by virtue of the fact that we're commanded to do the same thing. All of these things, animate and inanimate, they're all commanded to do the same thing. And by virtue of that fact that we're connected then, we're part of this larger choir. We're interconnected with all the other things around. When scientists talk about this interconnection, this relationship that the violin and oboe and the glockenspiel have with each other, this interconnection, they call that the field of ecology. So ecology is the study of the relationships of other things that you have with each other, other kinds of things. We are interconnected with other things. I'm not saying, and the psalmist is not saying, that the tree is God or that the fish is God. The whale, we're not saying that at all. No. That's pantheism. That's a New Age kind of mumbo jumbo. No. This is very different. There is one creator. And then there are all those things which he has created. And as a creature, we are interconnected with all of the other creatures. How are you doing with that? This interconnection is huge. The Bible teaches it. The Bible taught it long before science teaches it. But recently, scientists have started to talk more about the interconnection of things, ecology. One of the famous people who kind of made this whole idea famous was a guy right here from UW-Madison. His name is Aldo Leopold. Go back to, Aldo Leopold. I'll come back to that slide in a second. Leopold says this, when we see land as a community to which we belong, we may begin to use it with love and respect. He's from UW-Madison. He wrote that in the 1940s. The psalmist would say, when we see land as a choir to which we belong. This is the same thing. When you look at other things as a member of the worshiping choir, you start to see them differently. Christians used to talk about this a lot. Go back now. That's the Baucom quote. Richard Baucom, Bible and Ecology. Before the modern period, the praise of all the creatures seems to have been a more widely appreciated in the church. And so you can see old hymnals that are spread with songs about this kind of thing. All creatures of our God and King. You see those kind of songs scattered throughout the old hymnals. We used to talk about it more than we talk about it now. But in my home, we talk about it a lot. I got a grandson. His name's Silas. And whenever Silas comes over, we can go outside. We talk about nature. And I want him to know about the maple trees, and I want him to know about the flowers in our garden. And, you know, I'll hold a leaf. Since he was just really small, I'll hold a leaf and put it and say, I just love nature. Look at this. And then I get on my hands and knees, and I look at something squiggling around. I go, look at that little bug there. I just love nature. Look at that butterfly. I just love nature. And I'm always saying, I just love nature. I just love nature. I just love nature. The other day, he and his grandma were walking in front of me, and I was behind them, but I could hear them. And a bird came, and Sunshine looks up at the bird, and she says, oh, my, isn't that beautiful? And Silas looks at grandma and says, I just love nature, Grandma. Bingo. I love nature because I love God. And God has created all of these things. We get an appreciation for all the things around us when we see that they're a part of this huge choir. They're fellow worshipers, just like we are. That's the last lesson for our life. Get to know and love the other members of the choir. It's summer, you guys. Get outside. You don't have to spend a lot of money to do this. Just go in your backyard or your front yard. Just sit down in front of a tree. And when you look at that tree and it's holding its leafy arms, it's holding its arms up like to praise Yahweh. Well, Pastor Chris, that's just so strange. Pastor Chris, like, what is a hill? What does a hill sound like when it praises Yahweh? Thank you so much for thinking I knew the answer to that question. I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm telling you, just because it's different doesn't mean it cannot praise Yahweh in its own language. The instruments are all different, but they can sing the same song. This is a major biblical theme, you guys. Praise Yahweh. Go out and look around. Get outside. You guys, this is one of the most beautiful areas of the country. So get out and fall in love with the other worshipers in the choir. Someone who puts this whole concept together in a poem, she does it so beautifully, is a friend of mine, former Blackhawker, Chrissy Clute, and she wrote this poem just for this message. Hallelujah, the great song. Every atom of the universe sings praise to the one who makes. All stars send light songs across space and time and rain dust down on all planets who twist and swirl in their own notes. Sing, sing, praise, praise. All dust motes spiral through sunbeams to join all soil, ever singing, drawn up by apple trees, blooming their melody, blossoms like jazz hands in the resonant breeze. All apples burst with abundant goodness, offer their lives in generous praise, and all seeds fall. And still, all atoms sing praise, praise, music in me, in you, even all ashes sing on the wind and join the rain song of all drops drawn up from depths and return to resound the echoing tune of resurrection. Come. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. I'm going to ask all worship teams at all sites and venues to come up to the platform at every site and venue. And we are going to do one last hallelujah. But it's going to feel a little weird because today is July 24th, not December the 24th. We are going to sing a song that is written all about creation sings, heaven and nature sings. It was written by Isaac Watts in 1719 as he was meditating on Psalm 98, another one of the creation psalms. We actually heard it in the video. He's meditating on Psalm 98, and he sits down in one afternoon and writes the song, which is later entitled by someone else, Joy to the World. It became a favorite at Christmas, and I don't know why. There is no reference of Mary or Joseph or the babe or the angels or Bethlehem or anything like that. But there is a reference to the coming horn of Israel, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You all know this song. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand up at all sites and venues, all sites and venues. Everybody stand up. We're going to sing a song that you all know really well. So, all Blackhawk Church, I want you to sing this song as loud as you can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, downtown venue. Hallelujah, Blackhawk Fitchburg. Hallelujah, Traditions. Hallelujah, Gospel venue. Hallelujah, this venue. All of us sing as loud as we can. Joy to the world. Hallelujah.
Sing together.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing.
Hallelujah.
All God's people said, amen. It has been a privilege to get to worship Yahweh with you this morning. As Chris said, I can't encourage you enough to get outside and join voices with all of creation, all created beings, to worship the one who's nothing like us, the one creator God. Let's do that this week. We have a great opportunity for that tonight. Don't forget, worship on the lawn right out here at our Braidaway location in the lawn. Bring a picnic, stay to join voices with creation as we worship him. And then also don't forget, we're still doing donations for the Mother Child Resource Ministry, so you can check our website for more on that. As we go today, I want to use the words from Psalm 150. This is another one of those conclusion songs. This is the last in the book of Psalms. It says this, praise Yahweh. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his highest heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise Yahweh. Have a great week.